Brother Jack Pennington used to say. Amen. All right, 2 Kings chapter 5 is where we're going to be this evening. And we're going to look at stewards of influence. You know, influence is a fascinating subject to me. As a husband, a pastor, a Christian, a community leader, and a civic leader, well, my entire life, I think, is pretty much summed up and wrapped up in my success or my failure in how I influence people. I like to notice that, and I have noticed, that no matter what group or no matter what job or wherever I've been, I've always been able to invite people to church. And I see the influence of that. I see the results of that. And, you know, that's all you got to do, too, is just invite somebody to the church. But more importantly, invite them to the Lord. Tell them about Jesus. Because whether they come to Danieltown or not, the main thing that matters is they come to Jesus. Because that's what's going to be the deal breaker there for them in the long run, down the road. But all we can do is if we get them here, hopefully we can influence them to live for Jesus and to do better inside of their life. The definition of influence, according to the dictionary, is the power to change or affect someone or something. Or, number two, the power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen. That's a lot of influence right there. And then three, a person or thing that affects someone or something in an important way. Like Brittany, she's influencing these children and all the little young'uns that come. It's an influence that she has. As working with them. So tonight, let's take a look at Naaman's servant girl. We don't really know her name. The Bible never does name her. We just know she's what we'd call a little girl. That's about it. But 2 Kings chapter 5, let's look at verse 3. You got your place there? Please say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So this little girl, this little handmaiden, this servant girl, she knew about the prophet. She knew about the man of God that was inside of this country. And we see here that he was in Samaria. And of course, who is this prophet? Who is this man of God? This is Elisha. Now remember, Elisha was the one that after... If you recall this morning when we were talking about the little things, the small thing, we mentioned Elijah out there on Mount Sinai, and God told him, he spoke to him after the fire and the earthquake, the wind and all rain, all that stuff came, and God spoke to him in that little voice, and Elijah kind of had a pity party, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm the only one left that ain't worshiped Baal, and, well, you know, if I'm the only one here, just go ahead and take me out." And God told him, he said, "You're not the only one. I've got 7,000 that ain't bowed the knee." And immediately after that, that's when God directed him to Elisha. And Elisha is going to kind of be in training. He's going to kind of be in what we'd call the traveling prophet school. And he's traveling around with Elijah until Elijah's taken away in that fiery chariot. And remember, it's kind of interesting. When you look and see the miracles that Elijah did, there were seven. And Elijah asked Elisha, "What do you want?" And he said, "I would like a double portion of your spirit, of your anointing." And Elijah told him, he said, "If you're with me and you see me taken away, you'll have it." And so when his mantle, whenever he flew up on that fiery chariot, he threw his mantle down. And Elisha caught it. And if you go and see the miracles that Elisha performed, that's 14. So he did get a double anointing of God through that, of Elijah's spirit. So as we go through this, let's take a look and see some of the things about influence, and let's be good stewards of the influence that God has allowed us to be. Hey, David, come on in, brother. So number one, let's look at the people of influence. There's a man by the name of John Maxwell, and he put down something that has been called the law of influence. And this is what he talks about it. He says, it's all about who we are and what we know. Notice he doesn't say it's about who we know. It's rather about who we are and what we know. Because who you are and what you know, that's going to be that influence on people. You're going to either attract people or you're going to repel people. And And we might attract them, and then they might look at us real closely, and then we might scare them away. I'm talking about myself, not you. I don't think you could do that to people. But anyway, this is what a man by the name of Max Story said. He said, no matter your age, gender, religion, race, nationality, location, or position, everyone has influence. Whether you want to be a leader or not, in some way you are. On a scale of 1 to 10, your influence can be very low level, number 1, or to a very high level, number 10. But make no mistake, you are a leader. You are always on that scale in somebody's eyes. The higher on the scale you are, the more effective you are, this gentleman said. So no matter who you are, you, especially as a believer in Jesus, you have an influence on people. So remember that. You see, the Bible is filled with all kinds of people that had influence. And we start with the little maid here inside of our text, just this little girl in 2 Kings 5:3. She had an influence because what she said is going to lead to Naaman going to seek out that very prophet that she spoke of. There's a little boy over in John chapter 6, verse 9, who really impacts the story there. We got a little teenager, well, we say teenager, and that's about what he was, David, who went up against Goliath. He had a big impact there. Literally, he impacted Goliath, really. But because of David standing on the promise of God, that impacted that whole battle and wound up catapulting him on the path to become king later on. The woman, the Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4, she went back after Jesus talked to her about all these things, about who she was and all that. And she went back and she said, come see a man who told me all about basically myself. So she influenced those people. So there's all kind of people in the Bible. And there's all kind of people in your life that have influenced you. You know, a lot of times when we get around graduation, just like we did a few months ago, We hear the graduates, whenever they're making their speeches and everything, they talk about how many teachers and their parents and other people in the community, they've had an influence on them to help mold them and make them into the person they are that night, fixing to launch out into the adult world at last, or either going on further for more education. So there's people of influence all around us, and like I said before, you yourself, whether you realize it or not, you're a person of influence, especially as a parent. All of you here either are or you've been, and well, you still are, regardless whether the children are inside your home or not. You've been an influence on your children's lives especially, but then you might have grandkids now coming up, and now you're trying to influence them in that godly and right way. So you know all about influence in that regard, but even as a Christian, whether you're out in the grocery store or out driving around somewhere, you're going to influence someone on your job. Like Miss Cheryl, she's an influence, being the in-home care worker that she is. Brittany, too, you know. You have an influence. And a lot of times, you know, you'll look at yourself in the mirror and you'll say, me influence somebody? That ain't true. I mean, I can't do that. But you do. Especially when you name the name of Christ. There's going to be lost people. There's going to be saved people that are going to watch you, just to see how you respond, just to see how you react, just to see how you feel about a certain situation. Whether you're a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher or not, you're going to influence somebody. Number two, let's look at the process of influence. Is there a process? Absolutely. Well, one of the easiest ways to influence somebody is a vocal expression. Just open your mouth and say something. That's sometimes the greatest influence you can have, is just to simply say it. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now that fruit can be very nice, or it can be very bitter at times. It depends on what that does there. So whether that fruit's going to be good or bad. Now that little girl here inside of our text, she wasn't obligated to say anything. All she knows is there was a problem. Her master had leprosy. Now, leprosy, you know, in the Bible was a very serious and very terrible thing. And she wasn't obligated really to say anything. And It probably was not encouraged, being a slave, being a servant. She was not, most likely in her position, it wasn't an encouragement for her to say anything at all unless she was spoken to or it would draw attention to herself. I mean, she could have opted to just say, keep mum about it, as they say, to keep quiet and just stay in the shadows, so to speak. But she could have come up with a dozen excuses about not saying anything, but she didn't. She chose at that moment to speak up and say something, and that's influence. I had a lot of influence. Boy, you better not do that. Now, sometimes I didn't listen to that influence from my daddy. And I got better, more encouraging influence sometimes. And sometimes that is that's what's needed. But she had also a visible excitement here. You see, people are, guys, they're looking for something that's real. They're looking for something that's alive. That's why when we've had people visit, and even like today, we had some visitors come in. The Yelton family over from Baltic Sunshine area. When people, I'm not necessarily saying that they're looking for a church. They may be. I don't really know. I just remember a few weeks ago, they told me they was going to come visit with us. Well, they liked the way I did education programs and everything. So I said, okay, fine, you know. But that's, again, that's opening up your mouth and influencing. But that's the thing. When people are looking for a church, they're looking for something real. They're not looking for a show. They're not looking for something fake. They're looking to see something and feel something real inside of a church. And see, a dead, discouraged, depressed, despondent attitude, folks, I tell you now, I ain't going to have a positive influence on anybody. I don't care what topic, what subject it is. If you just go around like Eeyore all the time, it ain't going to influence anybody. I mean, that's why we got to be careful, you and I. Especially when we get kind of down about our church, you know. We don't want people to say, well, they're a dead church, you know, they're dying, they're going the way of the dodo. We know in our hearts that as long as God is in it, it's going to survive, going to go on. We can't help but notice that in the effects COVID and other things have had, we know that. But we want to be encouraged, and that's what God laid on my heart this morning, was to give you a bit of encouragement, a little bit of dose of reality where we got to understand where we're at, where we got to step up to the plate and make sure that we're doing all that we can to support and encourage each other and our church family. But we still want to be encouraged, and we want to be alive. We want to, you know, if God prompts you and blesses your heart and says, amen, I tell you, Brother Rex had the gift of encouragement. And I tell you what, you couldn't go to any church meeting, camp meeting, revival, nowhere, and that man, man of God there, he'd share it, wouldn't he? And he'd open that mouth, he'd let it be known. And I remember when I first encountered Rex, I said, what is that? Is that showboating? What is he, you know, what's got a hold of him? But when you hear and when you heard his story, and you heard what God had done for him, you know as good as you're sitting and I'm standing here, that wasn't a show. That was the touch of God on that man's life. And you know what? It helped us all out if we get a little bit of that inside of our lives. That's right. I mean, I'm going to go Friday and I'm going to go to a ball game. And I'm going to be right there whooping and hollering and shouting. And I hope the Owls clobber the Spartanburger. I hope they clean their clock. Because I want the home team to win. But you know what? If I'm inside the house of God and I get excited about what the man of God's preaching about, I'm going to root for the home team. You better believe that. Amen. I mean, it's one of the sorriest crying shames in this world, I think. If we get excitable about a ball game or this, that, and the third, but we come inside the house of God and we can't get excited about it, that's something matter there somewhere. It's like I said over there a minute ago, Brother Jack Pennington, you say that ought to make a Baptist shout, and amen, and amen, and amen to that. And some of our churches out there, folks, they're cold and so dead you could hang meat in it. You might as well. Might as well make it a funeral home. But I don't ever, ever, ever want that to be here. I want us to be full of life and excitement that something's going on at the house of God. And when you look at this little maid here, look what she says. I want you to look at the wording in your Bible. And she said unto her mistress, now watch what she says, would God my Lord, now my Lord is her master. That's Naaman, that's the title of respect there. Were with the prophet that is in Samaria. Tell me something, what do you see after the word of Samaria? What kind of punctuation's there? Exclamation mark. Now, what do you remember from English? I know y'all weren't sleeping in there. Okay, educate him. What does it mean when you got an exclamation mark point? Huh? It's important. All right, so is she over the... Would to God that my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria. Do you think she said it that way? No. Would to God that my Lord were with that prophet in Samaria. That's what she was like. She was excited about it. She was letting it be known. Wow. See, the Holy... Now watch this. The Holy Ghost put that there to show us that this little maid was excited about the prophet. Yeah, but the getting excited isn't enough. Like that ball game. That ball game ain't going to do nobody a bit of good a month from now. It's like my buddy Greg. Y'all remember Greg Rome. You can ask him about anything, just about. About any baseball team, baseball game, any baseball player now, and even a few years back. And he's like a walking encyclopedia. I'm that way about certain subjects. Don't get me started. Anyway, and so what that thing is, though, as much as he knows about it, it's not going to change anybody's life. So we get excited about ball games. We get excited about this. We get excited about that. But we need to make sure we also get excited about the thing that can change somebody's life forever. And that's our Jesus. Amen. I mean, if we could get half as excited about eternal thing as we do about temporary things, just imagine the influence that could be had. I mean, we were invited by my father-in-law, Brittany's dad, Mitch, out to eat. And we went over there, and I was standing over there just for a few moments while they got our table ready. And Don Ramon's. And I heard people talking. They said, well, how was your service today? Oh, it was okay. It was all right. I mean, and I heard them like that. And I'm thinking, if you just get a little bit of pep in there, that might say, man, I wonder what's happening over at that church. I think I might want to get over there and get on what that excitement is about over there. Well, not only is there that idea connected to a vocal expression, because remember, we're looking at the process of influence, but there is that visible excitement, and you see that in this little maid's words here. But then we got to see something else here, that there is a victorious energy about this as well. That's that other influence you have. Notice at the end of verse 3, after she said Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So there's that idea there, that this girl was absolutely, positively sure that if Naaman could get over there and see that prophet, he would be healed. So there's that victorious energy there. It ain't, okay, you're going to go see a doctor and he might or might not can help you. She says, if he can get to that prophet, he will be healed because he's a man of God. You know, what is interesting is how sure she was that the prophet could heal leprosy, even though Elisha had never done that before, huh? Ain't that something? That's kind of seeing what ain't really there, but it is. Elijah had done this and that, but he never had healed somebody of leprosy. But she was sure, why? Because he had the anointing and the power of God on him. And she knew that her God could do anything. As long as he could get to him, God could help him. Luke 4:27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha's the prophet. That right there in Luke 4:27, Elisha's, that is Elijah, that is Elisha who Jesus is talking about. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha's the prophet, and none of them were cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. That's the only one that was ever cleansed and healed by Elisha. Ain't that something, that it took a man, a foreigner, who wasn't even an Israelite, to come in to Samaria and be cleansed of leprosy? And yet there were scores of lepers inside of the Holy Land at that time. And none of them went to Elisha to get healed. But a foreigner came in and he was healed. Well, how can we influence others? Show some confidence in our God. That's what. That's exactly what. So there are those three ways inside of the process of influence. using your voice, using that visible excitement and that victorious energy. Those three things, that'll really influence somebody. I mean, imagine if you walked up to somebody at a job fair. And if you walked up to somebody at a job fair and they're just hunched over and they're kind of got this glassy-eyed look in their eyes, trying to influence you to come work for the company. No. But if you got somebody over there excited about it, then you're bound, maybe, well, I might look at this. I might give that a shot over there. Well, we also want to look at one other thing about influence. And that is the prize of influence. The prize of influence. Let's look at the definition of influence once again. It says, it is the power to change or affect someone or something, a person or thing that affects someone or something in an important way. So the little maid, with her decision, she decided, number one, to say something. She was excited about what she said. And she demonstrated confidence in her God that if Naaman got over there to where Elisha was, his life would be changed. And indeed it was. She made an unbelievable difference in Naaman's life, the family's life, and even, if you stop and think about it, in the life of that nation, Israel. Because even in the time of Jesus, they still talked about and they still remembered what Elisha did to the great general Naaman of the Syrian army. And he wouldn't have went that route if it hadn't have been for a little girl who was in there cleaning up his house. And she knew about the prophet that he probably hadn't ever heard of. Isn't that something? So you stop and think about it. No matter what position you're in, no matter what it is you're doing at that moment in time, and God brings another person across your path, you have an ability, you have an opportunity to influence them right there. Don't you? I mean, I think back many times, a few weeks ago, I was looking through some pictures, and I run across a picture of Mama working on Peggy's hair. And I saw another one where there was Mama and Peggy and Miss Dorothy. And I remember how them three ladies would influence each other. I remember how my mama told me many times that there would be somebody that would come. And I also remember people telling me about that, about my mama. That they could feel bad, they could feel kind of down, and then they could go to that beauty shop. Just go in to get their hair fixed. And they come away feeling a lot better. Precious memories, ain't it? Wow. Isn't that something? Every one of you, you've gone through things like that. You've seen people come across your path. And you never know, this side of heaven, how your influence in those people's lives is going to change the direction they made. It's like that story I've heard, and I'll briefly share it for fear of driving it inside the ground. But it's a very powerful story, a true story. Where that little boy had been picked on all the time. He was made fun of. I mean, he was just a reject. And everybody laughed at him all the time. And so he got all, on that Friday, he got all his books out of his locker, cleaned it out. And he was going along his way, and one of the jerks out there tripped him. And he fell down and scattered all his books all over the ground, wiping his eyes through the tears and the snot out of his nose on his sleeve. He was trying to gather his books up. Well, one of the guys over there decided to go in and help him and picked up his books and helped him. And the sad little boy, carrying all these books out of his locker, he looked at him and said, "Thank you." And he went on his way. Another boy that helped him, he didn't think nothing about it. So come Monday next week, the little guy came back in carrying his book, put it in his locker, closed it up, and saw the guy that helped him. He ran over there to him and he said, "Wait a minute. I want to tell you thank you." He said, "Well, you told me that Friday." He said, no, I want to thank you." And he says, "For about what?" Because the guy was kind of getting nervous looking around, because this is the nerd. This is the guy everybody picked on, and here I am being seen with him. You know, he was probably thinking. He said, I want to thank you for saving my life." He said, "Saving your life? I didn't save your life." He said, "Yes, you did." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, do you know why I was carrying all them books Friday? He said, no, not really. He said, I cleaned out my locker because I didn't want somebody else to have to do it. What do you mean do it? He said, I was going to go home and kill myself. Kill yourself? Why? He said, nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. All I am is the butt of jokes. Everybody makes fun of me, and I'm a nobody. So if nobody cares about me here, why would anybody care about me if I was gone? He said, but you stepped up, and you helped me, and you showed me somebody cares. And so I decided not to kill myself. That guy's life was changed. And so from that moment forward, he wanted to make sure he wanted to help somebody any way, anyhow he could. And he befriended that boy and became his friend. You see, you never know. Like I say, sometimes this side of heaven, the influence you could have on somebody's life by just a small act. It really gets me sometimes that we're so much in a hurry. We're so zoom, zoom, zoom. I get in it if I'm not careful. In my own little bubble, in my own little world, trying to make sure I get every little thing done. And if I'm not careful, I get so caught up in what I'm trying to get done that I don't look around me. And I think that's all of us at times. And it's easy to do. You know why? Because it's this thing called life. But that's why I pray a lot of times. I say, Lord, let me see somebody like you see them. Open my eyes. Let me slow down, Lord. Bop me back a little bit so I can start looking at people as people, not as things in my way and obstacles inside of my path of preventing me from doing what I need to do. Lord, let me see them so I can help them if need be. I think if we all do that, we're the hands and feet of the Lord. He could sure use us a lot better, couldn't he? You see, her one passionate, heartfelt statement had an unbelievable amount of influence. And you know what? That's the only time she's ever mentioned. We don't know who she is, except that she was a little slave, a little servant girl. And she got excited about the man of God and what her God could do through that prophet. And that's all we know about her. I like to believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to get to meet her. And we're going to get to know her name. And probably, I'd like to think after Naaman dipped in that river, that old muddy river, I'd like to think he got right with God too. And we'll probably get to meet him as well. And we're going to get to meet people also that you have led to the Lord, that you've influenced inside of your life. Like there was that song about, thank you for giving to the Lord, that you gave money and you gave your time and you gave this and you influenced people and led them to Jesus. We're going to see people that maybe they've been watching us afar off, and maybe our actions have help guide them to read their Bible more. Maybe they got saved by watching what we've done, or maybe things that we've not done. And we've influenced them unknowingly. I think there's going to be a lot of those stories too up in heaven. So, if God's given you that ability to influence, then what is the steward part of it? The steward is where God has entrusted certain things to us. And we're supposed to watch over it. We're supposed to use it to glorify God. So if God's given you, and he has, all of us, influence, we need to be a steward of it, of that influence. We need to use it in the right way. Because I tell you, there's a lot of folks out there, saved and not, that are influencing people to do bad things, to influence people to go in a different way. It's like every author, every writer that I read, their work, I try to remember, they're trying to influence me to think a certain way. Whether it's a novel or whether it's a theological book about the Bible, they're trying to influence me to see something the way they've wrote it down. That's what a writer wants. I mean, think about the writer of Uncle Tom's Cabin. Can't remember her name. It slipped my mind. Imagine that. Anyway, well, when she went up to meet President Lincoln, you know what he told her? Now, that book came out years before the war ever came out. But you know what he told her? He said, oh, look, it's the little lady that started the war. That book influenced people. Uncle Tom's Cabin. You know what? It wasn't right. I mean, it was right maybe on a few plantations. But the way she painted Southerners was we was out there beating blacks every day. And I mean, that's what we lived for. We lived to beat blacks. And you know what? That's even believed by a lot of people today. But it's not true. If it were true, why did the former slave take their master's last name? Why is it that when they heard about the Emancipation Proclamation that they didn't rise up and murder all their masters? Probably because they influenced them in the right way. But that's influence, guys. So think about your influence. And let's make sure we're going to be a good steward of it, because I believe, sure enough, that when we stand before God, that's one of the things God's going to look at us about. And then He saved us. How did we influence other people for Him? So make no bones and no doubts about it. Everywhere you go, on your job, in your home, in your community, you're influencing people for the Lord. For in a good way or a bad way. So how will you use your influence the rest of this year? Well, if I know about y'all, I like to think I know a little bit about you. You're going to influence people in a good way for the Lord. I tell you, you can't help but get around y'all and just feel warmth and happiness and goodness and joy. What a blessing. I tell you what, y'all are some of the reasons I love coming to church and see your bright, beautiful, shining faces, just to fellowship with you, and then us get together and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I tell you what. Well, stewards of influence, I hope you got something out of that message tonight. And with God being our helper, we're going to influence people as much as we can for the kingdom of Jesus. Well, David, if you'll come. As we bow our heads and as we close our eyes and open our hearts, let God speak to you this evening. Maybe you might wonder, well, Lord, how can I be a better influence? Ask Him that. Ask Him to show you. That might be your prayer tonight. Lord, use me more for Your kingdom and for Your glory. Lord, lead me to somebody this week that I can touch and I can influence. Lord, lead me to somebody that I can invite them to church. And if we had 27, well, Lord, we'll just double that number next week. And we'll invite somebody and bring them to church. Let's influence somebody that way. I believe we can do it. Because with God's help, we can do anything through His strength. So as David plays, if there's something in your life you need to get right with God about and God's influencing you tonight, then let's lay it on the altar. Whatever it might be, let God guide you tonight.